This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with Chris Stelly of Louisiana Entertainment. He has some thoughts about the burgeoning film industry in our state and about film tax credits and much more. Louisiana well represented at the Oscar ceremony on Sunday night. Also on the show, Stephen Maitland Lewis, a fascinating man who is, among other things, a noted novelist. His latest work is Ambition. Stephen Maitland Lewis, who now divides time between his homes in Beverly Hills and the French Quarter. We will talk with him, and we'll update the Medicaid morass involving U.S. Senator Mary Landrieu and Governor Bobby Jindal. And, of course, we ask for your support today. It is vital to the vitality of WRKF, and we appreciate your support this hour. All this, but now the news on 89.3. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local number. If you're dialing outside the Baton Rouge area, please call toll-free 877-217-5757, and you may reach us by email at inkstershow@wrkf.org. We are seeking your support today. This is an important day for WRKF, and of course there will be a big drawing at 7 o'clock for the Jazz Fest giveaway, and it is courtesy of the fine folks from our station. And so, certainly your contributions throughout the year are important, but today, if you are within earshot, we ask for your support, and certainly your contributions make the trains roll and keep this show going, and any contributions made this hour will be noted as part of the hour of this programming. So if you like this show, this is the time to call, and we certainly encourage and support you as a person who is vital to the stability of WRKF, which has been an entity in this community for now 33 years, and goes strong. I arrived as the station manager for 3 years in 2003, and David Gordon's done an admirable job, an outstanding job in the last 7 years. And during those times, the economy of this country and this state, they've not been the best. And public radio is something that suffers just like anything else when the economy is not as strong as it has been. And so we commend you for making sure that the programs that you know and love and trust and enjoy have continued during some austere times. So thank you very much. Coming later in the show today, we are slated to hear from Chris Stelly, who heads Louisiana Entertainment, and from the fine novelist Stephen Maitland Lewis, a fascinating gentleman who has lived in London, Kuwait. He's been an investment banker, and he is now a novelist of note, and he divides his time between Beverly Hills and New Orleans. He's living part of the year in the French Quarter. The first time he was on this program, he talked about his days as a youth in the UK, in which he was a pen pal of none other than Louis Armstrong, and those two became friends. Amazingly, Louis Armstrong responded to the letters from a young man and became quite friendly with Stephen Maitland Lewis, and he will be here, Stephen Maitland Lewis will, to discuss his latest work, Ambition. The big news story of the day so far is Governor Jindal and his schism, if you will, with his Democratic counterpart, Mary Landrieu, the senior U.S. Senator. So the most powerful Republican politically and the most powerful Democrat politically at odds with one another, played out on the front page of the Baton Rouge Advocate today. A quote from Governor Jindal saying, Senator Landrieu and President Obama believe that growing government will help grow jobs. That's not how the economy works. And Senator Landrieu saying he just seems to be adamant about pushing his political future ahead of the economic interests of the people of Louisiana. And as we have stated before, both of these fine public servants have spent almost their entire careers in government. And Mary Landrieu is one who has embraced government service, while Bobby Jindal does not, despite the fact that he has only held a job in the private sector for less than 1 year in his 41 years on the planet with the McKinsey Company in 1994. 297-5633, if you'd like to join us in this segment as we talk about the Medicaid issue. The comments from Senator Landrieu were inspired by the governor's rejection of Medicaid expansion, which is part of the Affordable Care Act. It goes into effect in 2014, and the Obamacare expansion would allow people who earn too little money to buy their own insurance, but also those who earn too much money or otherwise don't qualify for Medicaid to get coverage under the government program. And this would involve an estimated 421,000 people in the state of Louisiana. Now, Governor Jindal says this program is a budget buster, that it cost the state $1 billion over 10 years. Senator Landrieu says that any costs that would be incurred on the state side would be offset by benefits that would save the state money, perhaps as much as $300 million in the coming year. Governor Jindal has remained steadfast in his aversion to this plan, but his Republican colleagues around the country are dropping one by one in line with the president on this, and the latest is none other than Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey. Today's New York Times says Governor Christie, one of the most strident Republican critics of President Obama's health care overhaul, announced that he will accept money to expand the Medicaid program in his state. The expansion, which the governor described in his annual budget address to the legislature, would provide health insurance to 104,000 people in New Jersey. Now, in Louisiana, as we noted, because of the way the money falls and the way the people are situated as far as their position, it would affect about four times that many people. Governor Christie emphasized that this is a financial decision, not a philosophical shift. If New Jersey did not take the money, he said the federal government would give it to other states. The quote from Governor Chris Christie, who has described Governor Jindal as a mentor, he did so in an appearance in Baton Rouge a little over a year ago. He says, "Let me be clear, I'm no fan of the Affordable Care Act. I think it's wrong for New Jersey and for America. I fought against it and believe in the long run it will not achieve what it promises. However, it is now the law of the land. I will make all my judgments as governor based on what is best for New Jerseyans." So Chris Christie has flipped on this, as have several other Republican governors around the country, including the governor of Florida, Governor Scott. But Bobby Jindal remains steadfastly against it and doesn't look like he's going to budge. So this will be a story that will have relevance as the legislative session begins in less than 2 months on the 8th of April. And the governor of Louisiana, of course, is fighting for every dollar he can because of budget considerations in our state. And as a prelude to the session, he is offering an ambitious tax plan that, on the surface, if everything that is being reported is correct, would do away with the state income tax and would involve an increase in the state sales tax and a big increase in tobacco taxes in Louisiana as major parts of this plan. Now, it will take two-thirds support in both the House and the Senate for this to happen. And it would appear, with the governor's popularity waning, according to polls, it might be a tough sell for him. Last week we had Elliot Stonecipher, the well-versed political pollster and demographer, on the program, who once advised Governor Romer, and he said that he knew of no time in recent history when a governor's popularity went from Governor Jindal's zenith to where it is now. But I can cite one case in 1984 and 85 in which Edwin Edwards, who was elected about the same way Governor Jindal was 2 years ago, in 83, Edwards received well over 60% of the votes in upending David Treen. 2 years later, his popularity was at a low ebb, but there were other factors involving Governor Edwards, principally a bad economy. Number two, he was on trial in New Orleans, and thirdly, he had made some technical or tactical blunders as far as a politician goes, speaking his mind about the resurrection and then, in one case, mocking the resurrection in a public appearance in Alexandria. So Edwin Edwards, in 1985, was seeing his popularity wane, and ultimately he was defeated when he ran for governor in 1987 by Buddy Romer. Bobby Jindal will not be running again in 2015. Constitutionally, he is barred from a third consecutive term, but it does look like he is running for president of the United States. And when he does, he will have to sell the Louisiana miracle. That's what some conservative columnists, such as Cal Thomas, term what's been happening in Louisiana. But now the governor has to make a case that he's done a good job, and he has to persuade some lawmakers that he can right the ship with this ambitious tax overhaul. And next week on this show, we are slated to hear from Tim Barfield, who's running the Department of Revenue for Governor Jindal and is right at the center of this tax change. And we'll be talking about that in the days, weeks, months to come. And, of course, we'll be back with Chris Stelly after this brief timeout on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Richard Fisher is producing. 297-5633 is your number. And in just a moment, we'll hear from Chris Stelly, who heads the Office of Louisiana Entertainment. But we do want to take all comers, and we had some folks waiting on the line as we went to the break. And let's try Jessica. Richard, Jessica, and Zachary, good morning to you. You're on the air. Oop, we lost Jessica. 297-5633 is your number if you'd like to join the conversation. I think Jessica was going to comment on the discussion that preceded the arrival of Mr. Stelly. You've been on the job in this capacity now for how long?
Oh, I've been in the executive directorship position since February of last year, so about a year now.
Okay, so you've had a success story to convey, and this is your second appearance on this show with me, second or third, and of course the Oscars were Sunday night in Los Angeles, and Louisiana was well represented with Beasts of the Southern Wild and Django Unchained. Were you pleased, displeased? What was your take on what happened?
Well, you know, you're always rooting for the home team, so to speak, and I do wish that Beast had done a little bit better. But the you know, the competition was very, very stiff this year, and I think they went head to head with some very, very fantastic films. And you know, it's good company to keep. Being nominated is certainly an honor. It was one of those little films that you never really expected that to garnish this much critical success, and it did well. And you know, it's a Louisiana story through and through, and we're very, very proud of that picture. And
you're right about that. Now, Beast of the Southern Wild was nominated for Best Picture, Director, Actress, Adapted Screenplay, and not just any actress.
Right, Kavinze, yeah, a 9-year-old. She was 6 years old when she shot the film, and then 9 years old now, and pretty amazing. She was one of the youngest actresses nominated of all time.
I think the youngest.
You know, Jennifer Lawrence did a great turn in Silver Linings Playbook, and, you know, it was stiff competition. And what I liked about this year's Oscars was it was so unpredictable, and I think that makes for an exciting show.
And Django Unchained, nominated for Best Picture, Supporting Actor, Original Screenplay, Cinematography, Sound Editing, and there on stage for the screenplay was Quentin Tarantino. Did you meet this guy along the way?
I did not get a chance to meet Quentin. It would have certainly been fun to meet him, but that's one of my bucket list meets, and I haven't got a chance to meet him yet.
He's a bit of an irreverent guy. His tie was loose. He looked like he was in his element when he arrived very late in the game the other night to receive his award.
But, absolutely.
He's a character.
He's a trip.
He's the kind of guy who you think would fit in well in Louisiana, Chris.
I think he does, and I think he did. You know, he's certainly one of those guys that you have a lot of respect for. He's a great filmmaker, and, you know, you just love him for being himself.
All right. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757, and you may reach us via email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Mariano wants to know about these film tax credits. You have been a proponent, but how would they change, asked Mariano, if the governor does away with the state sales tax?
Well, the governor's talking about eliminating income taxes.
I misspoke. He wants to increase the state sales tax and do away with the state income tax, and of course those tax credits are quite often used to offset income tax.
Right. Well, we're certainly reviewing all options available to us, whether it's offsetting them with offsetting other taxes that are out there and collected, or, you know, just different mechanisms to make sure that the film program stays intact. You know, we're considering a variety of ways to protect the film incentive program in the upcoming session. And, you know, we're going to do what we need to do to make sure that we continue that upward trajectory.
But the plan is in its it's in its early stages, mm-hmm. could affect you, too early to tell. But those tax credits have certainly stimulated the industry, haven't they?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, I think that when you go from pre-2002 numbers, you know, we did about one film a year, averaged about $10 million in spending, to where we are now with over 100 films shooting on average per year in Louisiana, it's been a considerable boost to our economy. We've got great infrastructure, a deep crew base. We've got everything a filmmaker really needs to be able to successfully make their film. And one of those, you know, unmeasurable aspects of the industry is that the repeat business and the love that filmmakers and actors and everyone involved in the industry have for the state. I mean, the state has really, really become a favorite place for them to come.
All right. 297-5633 is your number for Chris Stelly, who is Executive Director of Louisiana Entertainment. You said over 100 films are shot in Louisiana each year?
Yep, it continues to grow. I think last year we did about 108 productions here. So
108.
You know, you look at, and these are productions of different variety. You know, we've got, of course, the Tom Cruise project, which was Oblivion, coming out soon. The number two movie this week at the box office was Snitch with Dwayne Johnson, I believe, The Rock. You've got The Last Exorcism 2, Expendables 2. We've got Ender's Game, which should be coming out in the very near future. Last year we had The Campaign with Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis, which was quite a fun picture. You get shows like True Detectives, which is shooting down in New Orleans right now. It's another HBO series. As they wrap up Treme season 4, they'll go into another project. We've got 4 or 5 television pilots looking towards Louisiana, some major feature films coming our way, and a lot of commercials are being shot here as well.
Now, I noted that you are a proponent of the tax incentive program. You were involved from the start.
I joined the office in 2004, but during my tenure with Governor Mike Foster's office back in 2002, we led the charge to kind of promote the film industry and enacted the incentive program.
What do you say to those, Chris, who say this money is not well spent, that it's a cost to the state of Louisiana? There is a cost. Mm-hmm. I know you believe that the benefits exceed that, but how much do they exceed it in your judgment?
Well, you know, when you look at the amount of jobs that they create, and we're going to have an impact study released here in the coming days and weeks. But when you look at the people that just on the crew side, where we were at about 150 crew members deep back in 2002, we're over 1,100 active members working in the industry. You get increased revenue and increased sales with laundromats, antique shops, hardware stores. Mm-hmm. You get great infrastructure like the Celtic Media Center, Second Line Stages. I was at a costume shop yesterday down in the city of New Orleans, and you know, they have a full array of costumes going back to prehistoric times to modern times. And you can see it. You just see that impact everywhere you go. And, you know, the city of Baton Rouge is ramping up right now with several productions that are filming throughout the city. And it's just been wonderful to see, and it's something you can touch. You can see the crews. You can see the road closures. You can, you can see that impact.
Now, as far as the 108 productions, Louisiana has to rank in the top 2 or 3 as far as states producing films in the country right now.
Absolutely. Last time P3 Magazine came out, and I think they ranked us as the number 3 production center outside of New York and Los Angeles. So it's pretty good company to keep.
That's the big two. So Louisiana's number 3. And under your helm, the state was named the number 1 location for film production in mm-hmm. the entire country. Mm-hmm. That's an honor that is worthy of note.
Absolutely, yeah. We, Louisiana is one of those states that I think just kind of oozes creativity. Mm-hmm. No matter where you go, you can kind of feel that creativity, whether it's the music in the music halls around the state, the into the digital interactive world where you get this great level of talent that's not only creative but technical in mm-hmm. mind. You've got up in Shreveport, you got Moonbot Studios, which is Bill Joyce's company, and they're doing wonderful things. So it's been a natural fit for the state.
And you're involved in all facets of the entertainment industry, not just the film industry. What are some of the other objectives and front burner items that you have going right now?
Right. Well, the office that I oversee administers four tax incentive programs. We have film, sound recording, live performance, and digital interactive media. So, for example, if you're creating an iPad application in the state of Louisiana, you can potentially qualify for a digital interactive program, which is one of those programs that just continues to grow. And as our focus on the digital media side mm-hmm. Continues to be very, very honed in and very targeted, we're starting to see major companies locate in the state, such as Gameloft, which, you know, and these companies employ for hundreds of people, hundreds of Louisiana residents. On the live performance side, we've attracted productions like Cirque du Soleil, the Addams Family, and different things on that aspect to really get the Broadway side of things going in the state of Louisiana. On the sound recording, we've done, you know, last year, the Rebirth Brass Band, which recorded their last album down in New Orleans, won a Grammy. You've got Dave Matthews, which have shot here. That is recorded here. The Yeah Yeah Yeahs, which is a New York rock outfit that is releasing their second album or third album. That's that was recorded down in New Orleans in part. REM's last record. So we've got a lot going on all aspects of entertainment. And, you know, as we see these industries grow, we're also seeing a lot of convergence where companies like Moonbot Studios, not only do they do feature film animation or television animation, they're doing iPad applications for major companies like Ford and other things like that. So we're seeing a lot of convergence within these industries.
Here's a question and a comment from Jacoby and Karen Crow, writing the New York Times reports today that Louisiana spends at least $1.79 billion per year on business incentive programs. He writes that's approximately $394 per capita, 21 cents per dollar of state budget. Now, this, of course, includes more than the film industry and the entertainment industry, but he says it's a huge cost. The biggest beneficiaries are oil and gas, followed by film and then manufacturing. At a time when we are getting a huge budget cuts to health care and education, can we afford these corporate giveaways? That's from Jacoby.
Thanks, Jacoby. I haven't read the piece, so I'm kind of I'd like to catch up on that. But, Jacoby, if you'd want to talk offline, I'd be happy to do that.
But do you think that the cost is significant enough that perhaps we should pull back? Should we increase it? Should we keep it the same? What should we do?
No, I think the program is absolutely working. And, you know, we're not going to support any program caps or reduction in the incentive percentages. But, you know, we do need to respond in some way to critics who suggest that the program doesn't provide a sufficient return on investment. So in the coming weeks before session and during session, we're going to meet with industry representatives and, of course, with legislators to discuss all of the options available to us. But certainly the state, the governor, the Secretary Stephen Moray support this industry and support these incentives because they're working.
Well, you are in a situation where you're working for this administration, and yet this administration may make some tax decisions if the legislature goes along that could affect these particular programs. How closely are you staying in the loop on this?
Oh, yeah, we're a very close-knit team, and we're all working to compile the ideas and see what's going to work better for the programs. So, yeah, we're absolutely all working closely together.
Well, this incentive program is noted. It's not a Johnny-come-lately thing, and it precedes the Jindal administration. It precedes the Blanco administration. It goes all the way back to Mike Foster.
Right, correct, in 2002.
2002.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were to pull back now as a state, we'd be pulling back from 11 years of work by you and other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's been a firm commitment to the motion picture industry, and everyone really sees and can feel the benefits that it's provided to Louisiana residents. We've seen more companies locate. We've seen entrepreneurs open up. You know, Hollywood Trucks, for example, is is a good kind of entrepreneurial success that we've seen, where an individual in the film industry, Louisiana resident, came back home and started a company that's grown leaps and bounds for him. So not only are they servicing productions in Louisiana, but in fact are servicing productions around the world.
Leo Honeycutt, who was on the show yesterday, says if corporate income taxes ended along with personal income taxes, would the tax credits become worthless?
Not really. Again, like I said earlier, we're working on all plans and all ideas to make sure that the programs stay intact and that there will be options for people to use these credits.
All right. Chris Stelly has been kind enough to be with us today, and he has a job that's exciting, but as we noted during these economic times, it's tenuous. You never know what's going to hit you next, and this tax reform plan could be something that will have major implications, perhaps positively, perhaps not so positively, to your world. So I guess you're just going to wait and see.
Yeah, we're going to work hand in hand with the industry and work with legislators and make sure we continue the success that we've built up.
Well, that's all you can do. Thank you for sharing your story today with us. Always a pleasure to see you, Chris Stelly. Good luck to you in year two as the executive director of the Louisiana Office of Entertainment.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Appreciate
we'll be
it.
Back after this brief timeout on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Richard Fisher is producing, and in a few moments we should hear from Stephen Maitland Lewis, the author of Ambition, his latest novel. Did want to note that there's an email from a listener, Leonard. He says, the host shot in Baton Rouge at Celtic Media Center and 8000 Greenwell Studios will open at the end of March, another Louisiana production success story. And also Jim Kleinpeter of the Picayune and NOLA.com. Yesterday, listening to our conversation with Leo Honeycutt and Julie Baxter, says Baton Rouge has two newspapers, and he is, of course, referring to the New Orleans Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. And there is a competition of sorts going on right now between the Advocate and the Picayune in Baton Rouge and New Orleans. So our cities do have some competitive newspaper activities, which is a good thing for journalists who always love competition. Jim Kleinpeter's been doing his thing for a long time, one of the best sports writers in the world, and he happens to work in Baton Rouge for NOLA.com and the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Yesterday on this show, it was noted that Mayor Holden, when he was a reporter for WBRZ, was dismissed and filed suit against his employer, and it went to federal court, and the judge was Frank Palazzola. A listener notes that Mayor Holden's star witness in that trial was none other than Edwin Edwards. So this was the early 1980s, meaning that Edwin Edwards would have been in Judge Palazzola's court long before the trial that resulted in Edwin Edwards being incarcerated. Stephen Maitland Lewis, this is his third trip with us on this show, and the first time we talked about his amazing connection to Louis Armstrong as a pen pal who got to know Satchmo, and they became fast friends and exchanged correspondence for many years. And then Stephen wrote a remarkable book, Emeralds Never Fade, a novel, and he's back with his latest work, Ambition. Good morning to you, Stephen Maitland Lewis.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful program again.
It's always,
I really appreciate it.
Always good to talk with you, Stephen. And I know that come later today, if I were in Los Angeles, I would be at 9255 Sunset Boulevard.
Well, you have a plane that leaves early enough, you could be there.
That's where your official unveiling of Ambition will take place. So
absolutely, yes, this evening. Thank you.
And you split time between your home in Beverly Hills, and now you are living in the French Quarter as well.
Well, about to move there. We bought an apartment there in November of last year, and we'll be ready to move in very, very shortly. Looking forward to it. New Orleans has been a very special place in my heart for most of my life.
It's your kind of town, isn't it?
It really is. It has everything. It has the history, the culture, the food, the music, the pace, the architecture. I mean, it's just a unique, wonderful city, and the people are so much fun.
And you have noted that you love Beverly Hills where you live, but Los Angeles, for those who are unfamiliar, is a city that is generally not a place where late hours are embraced. New Orleans is much different than that, and you're a late hours kind of guy.
Well, I'm sort of all hours, but it is true. Los Angeles is a very early town. You'll find that many of the restaurants start to put the chairs on the tabletops at about 9:30. And I think it has its roots probably because it's an industry town and people had to get to the studios early in the morning either for makeup or because of the light. So people do tend to retire earlier.
Well, your latest work, Ambition, blends many of your fascinations. And Stephen, of course, has a background on Wall Street and in investment banking. This one is Ambition, and an amazing lead character, George Tozzoli, an ambitious dealer on the trading floor of a prominent California bank. Kitty Kelly calls the work chilling, chilling. It's quite a story that you have weaved.
Well, you know, it's about a bank fraud, which was made possible because the securities that were being bought and sold were in an unregulated market. So it had very little or nil press exposure. There were no regulators. And people could just act very ruthlessly without any serious outside monitoring.
Well, Bill Bernstein, the former president of Orion Pictures, says Ambition makes Wall Street look like a Boy Scout convention. It's quite a story, and you go places that you've never gone in your previous works.
Well, that is true. Basically, my previous works were historical fiction. This was a financial thriller on which I had some knowledge. So it required very little research other than into the depths of one's memory. And that's why I was able to write it quickly. It went through a number of editing rounds, which are normal. But, I think it's a story that needs to be told. Everybody's going on about banks and the naughtiness that goes on. But, gracious, this has not been, there's been very little focus on this particular type of thievery.
Now, is Tozzoli, is he based on Stephen Maitland Lewis, or is he the kind of guy you would have liked to have been?
Tozzoli was a criminal. What are you talking about? Jim, please. He was a criminal. He was a nasty piece of work.
An engaging criminal, though, a fascinating character, and one that has charm, as many criminals do.
Absolutely. But my God, he made life complicated for himself by having a relationship with one person on the East Coast and one on the West, and he made it difficult for himself.
Well, he has a lot of interesting people who are interlocked with him. His potential father-in-law is the bank president. This guy doesn't come across as a great man either.
He wasn't a great man, but he, in a way, he was. I wanted him to be reasonably likable, and he had the unfortunate problem of having a wife who was a very cold fish and a father who didn't like him. So he was a bit of a loner. I actually found a great deal of sympathy when I was writing about him.
And the women in the book, the mother and daughter, they are captivating figures in their own way, and certainly are as much a part of the book Ambition as Tozzoli and his would-be father-in-law.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a mother-daughter relationship that was very, very sick, very competitive, and a lot of jealousy on both sides, primarily the mother being jealous of the daughter.
In writing fiction, and you have written in many realms, but do you go places that even surprise you as far as where you take Tozzoli and the actions and activities that he's involved in?
Yeah, I think so. I think the element of blackmail in the book, which I wrote about, took me by surprise. I didn't start off with having a subplot involving blackmail in my mind. That developed.
And you know the banking business about as well as anyone. You held positions in London, Kuwait, Wall Street, California. This is an industry that is one that is fraught with danger and perhaps on occasion corruption.
Well, that is true. Wherever big money is involved, there's bound to be a bad apple. The years ago, when the London Stock Exchange building closed down, which was a very significant date in financial history, that a building that had been up for 200-300 years, they suspended operations because of computer technology. Someone told me then that, mark my words, Stephen, he said, there's going to be more fraud in the financial sector. And I said, you know, why is that? And he said, because when people no longer see each other on a regular basis for a lunch, breakfast, at meetings, when they can see the color of a person's eye, that tends to help reduce the risk of naughty behavior.
Well, Stephen, I'm sorry, but the clock is ticking. We got to roll, but I would like to have you back when you make your move to New Orleans. That would be wonderful.
And terrific. I look forward to that.
Good luck today, and congratulations with Ambition, Stephen Maitland Lewis.
Thank you.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.